Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. There is a way of evil men. There is a path of the wicked. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Get away. Avoid it, it says in verse 15. I want to pick up where I left off last Sunday night, avoiding Satan's temptations. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for all that you've done today. Lord, for being faithful, for food and a shelter and clothing and strength and health. And I do pray for those that are out sick tonight, Lord God, that you would touch their bodies. You would encourage them. I pray for Amber and Amanda and their children, and also for Joshua and Donnie and their children, God, that you would keep working in their hearts, that they would hasten back here at the next appointed time. Father, that you would not allow them to get used to being out. Lord, I know that that happens even in sickness, God. Please don't let that happen to our dear brethren. Bless our service tonight. Again, give us liberty, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Avoiding, I'm not going to re-preach last week, but I do want to just go over some of the introduction again and say that temptation comes from God and from Satan, but they're two different types, and therefore two different, very distinct, different reasons. God tries our hearts, tries our faith, to make us better, to improve, to make us stronger. God wants us to be better Christians, and Satan wants us to be bitter Christians. God wants to make us stronger, so he tries our faith. What he does is he puts us, listen now, he puts us in situations where we are forced to rely on him. We are forced. We have no other choice. We must rely on God, and because that's what faith is.
That's right.
Faith, it's not faith when you do things that you can do whether God's alive or dead. I mean, I wonder really, and you know, this is just nothing new, but how many things would we still be able to do if God died tomorrow? What would change in your life if God all of a sudden died? Well, you say everything would change, God be dead, but what I'm saying is, what if you didn't know he was dead? What would change? What would you do differently? In other words, what are you doing now that you're completely dependent upon God, knowing that if he did die, you're dead? Faith. Faith is doing what God says, the impossible, completely depending upon God to do his part. And God puts us on purpose in situations not to destroy us, but to strengthen us. Satan, however, throws out temptations, let's call them bones, throws us bones that look great, that look healthy. Now, I don't know much about eating bones, but for some reason, dogs seem to like those things. And it's hard for a dog to avoid a good bone. But Satan knows what it is hard for you to avoid. He's not going to throw you a literal bone unless you're very strange. But he will throw you something that will be a very big temptation to you. He's watching. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not at all places, at all times, everywhere. But he does have, listen to me, a very large army of fallen angels. We call them, the Bible, the King James Bible doesn't use the word demons. It uses the word devils. In other words, there is one Satan, Lucifer, but there are many, thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands, devils, demons, if you will, but devils, spiritual wickedness in high places. So Satan is watching you, and he knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what's easiest to get you to fall. And because, listen, he's not trying to fight you. He just wants to destroy you. He's not trying to fight you. He's just going to find the easiest way, excuse me, to destroy you. His temptations are put in place to make us sin so that we get bitter, so that we'll eventually quit, so that he can stomp all over us, so that we'll be history, so that we'll be sourpusses, so we'll be moaners and groaners and whiners and complainers, so that we'll lose what God wants us to have, so that we'll not have the blessings of God. We'll just let go. We'll just give up. We'll quit. We'll give in. We'll roll over and we'll die. Satan wants us to be statistics. He wants us to be has-beens. He wants us to be used-to-bes. He wants us to, he doesn't care about what he's going to do or how he's going to do it. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't care about your feelings. He doesn't care about what you like or don't like. He is a very worthy adversary, and he knows what it takes to destroy God's people. Job, listen now. Job hated the day that he was born. Job got to the place where he said, I despise the day of my birth. I wish I would have never even been born. Satan wants us to literally come to the place where our lives are poor, empty, broken, garbage, wasted, ruined, miserable, with bitter tears of shame, detesting even ever being saved. You say, that would never happen to me. You need to be quiet and listen first. Amen. Before you say that. That's why God says to us, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Abstain means to stay away from it. To not participate in it at all. Abstain from it. Keep away from it. The public school system wants to teach our children how to have safe sex. God says to abstain from all fornication. There's a big difference from having safe sin. There's no such thing, by the way. And completely abstaining from it all. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 6:8, flee fornication. That means run away from it. James 4:7, resist the devil. Don't try to reason with him. Resist him. Luke 22:40 says, pray that you enter not into, listen now, temptation. Jesus told his disciples, you need to wake up and pray that you don't even enter into temptation.
Right.
Temptation is not sin, but it always leads to sin. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin. Lust, being enticed and drawn away of our own lust. That's what the Satan does, to entice us, to draw us away from God so that we do what we want to do and sin. 2 Timothy 3:5 tells us to turn away from people that are living in sin. People that have lifestyles of ungodliness. To turn away from them. Not to try to win them. Not to try to change them. But to turn away. Because the temptation is going to get you too. Oh, I'm stronger than that. You better be quiet and listen. You need to be quiet and listen. Proverbs 4:27. We're right there. Look at it over there in verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Notice what it says. Remove thy foot from evil. Remove even thy foot from evil. Don't even walk in that direction. Look again at Proverbs 5, verse 8. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh. That means near the door of her house. That's referring to the strange woman, the woman who Satan has in place to destroy you young men, to destroy you older men, to destroy all of us. It's a purpose, on purpose. The Bible, God says here, don't even come near her door. I'm telling you what. God says, don't come near her door. But we bring her in our living room.
Right.
We bring her in our bedrooms on the computer. We bring her in our living rooms on the television.
Right.
Because we think that we're stronger than that. And Satan is laughing at you. He's laughing at you. He says, how can you possibly let that all of the temptations, everyone that can possibly exist, can be found on the internet and on the television? And Satan's laughing. We haven't had a revival in America since television came on the scene. We haven't had a revival in America since television came on the scene. Come not nigh the door of her house. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't give in. If they entice thee, if they try to draw you away, if they try to get you to, if they're just enticing means tempting you, don't even consent. Don't give in to them. Don't give them place. Give not place to the devil. Neither give ye place to the devil. Listen, it means don't give him an inch. Don't give him. Don't even crack the door. But God's people aren't just giving him place. They're welcoming him with open arms. And listen, he's not going to take or have any mercy on you. He doesn't have any mercy. We're used to God and His mercy and His forgiveness and His righteousness and His love and His grace. But friends, listen to me. We need to wake up and realize Satan's not like that at all. He's not forgiving. He's not merciful. He's evil. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's the one who invented sin. He brought it down to earth. Listen, God in His righteousness and His holiness and His glory says, listen, don't play with fire. Avoid it.
Right. Amen.
Avoid it. I told you last week, some temptations that were avoided. The number one, I said, let me put it to you this way. How can we avoid temptation? What is it that we need to focus on? Obviously God, but I'm saying more practical things, so to speak, that we can see and put our hands on. Things that we need to focus on to keep us avoiding a temptation, to keep us away from temptation. I talked to you last week about Joseph in Potiphar's house. You don't have to turn over there for sake of time, but Joseph was in Potiphar's house, sold into slavery. His own brethren put him in the pit and pulled him out of the pit, put him in the slave train, went down to Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar, and he was a slave. He was a Jewish boy, but he was living in the world in slavery, bound to an Egyptian master. He was not in his rightful place. He was not at home. He didn't even speak the language. He was completely, listen, he had a lot of reason to be upset. He had a lot of reasons to be unhappy. He had a lot of reasons to be discouraged. I mean, his own family. And he was no longer, he had 11 brothers. And listen, and they all threw him in the pit. And they said, get out of here. We hate you. We don't want you. They lied to their dad about him. So everybody in his family just disowned him completely.
Right.
And then he was a slave in a foreign land. And then the man that bought him, his wife came and tempted him to lie with her, to be immoral and have an immoral relationship with her, to commit fornication with her, adultery. And listen, the Bible says that he told her that I will not, how can I do this against my master, number one, and my God, primarily. In other words, he said, my master, even though I'm not in home, even though my family has disowned me, even though I have good reason to be unhappy, even though I'm not at home yet, listen, we're not at home yet, we're not in heaven yet, we have every reason that we could possibly think of to be a little bit grumpy and discouraged because the things aren't going everything that we want it to be. But the fact is, Joseph was grateful for what God had given him.
Right.
He knew that if he would have lied with that woman,
right,
he would have lost the blessings of God.
Amen.
He would have lost what God was with him. The Bible says over and over, God was with Joseph.
Amen.
I don't care. I do care, but in reality, you and me have got to come to the point where we don't care about what happens to us as long as God is with us.
Right.
I mean, I know that sounds maybe sometimes a little bit scary because I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But the folks, listen to me. What I'm trying to get you to see is Satan is going to come at you when you're most vulnerable.
Right.
When you're not, everything's not exactly on your best day, where all your bills are paid and everybody loves you and you got the best job and you've got everything you could dream of and life is just grand. Well, yeah, you're going to say, get out of here, Satan, get away from me. But when you get down and things aren't turning out like you thought they should and you don't have the money and people don't like you and all of a sudden everything seems to be backwards from what you thought it would be, then Satan's going to show up on your doorstep. And he's going to fill the heart of somebody, like in this case, another woman, and he's going to tempt you. You say, well, I'm a woman. That doesn't tempt me. Listen, the point is this. He's going to come at you with what is your greatest temptation that he knows that you're going to be most susceptible to. Can I tell you, many times, temptation is not always sex and drugs and rock and roll and alcohol. It's not always those big things that cigarettes and fornication. Many times it's just hey, why don't you just get out of God's will? Why don't you just miss church? I mean, come on, it's really not that big a deal. Why don't you just quit giving your tithes? I mean, come on, just 1 week. Why don't you get mad at God? After all, he could have changed that situation.
Amen.
See, the temptations are not always huge. Most of them are very subtle.
Right.
Why don't you get mad at God? I mean, after all, he could have changed that. He could make that different. You know, he's God, right? I mean, there's nothing too hard for God, right? With God, all things are possible. So why don't you get mad at God? Why don't you get mad at God? I mean, after all, your life is not what it should be. You're not. You deserve better than this. And Satan comes, shows up when you're most vulnerable.
Right.
We have got to, number one, avoid temptation by being grateful. We have got to make it a point to stay thankful.
Amen.
We have been given the greatest gift known to mankind.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what this world throws at us, we're saved. It doesn't matter what they say about us. It doesn't matter what they think about us. It doesn't matter what they do to us. We're saved.
Right. Come on.
Joseph knew he was saved. Joseph knew that God was with him.
Right.
Joseph said, I'm not going to lie with you, you stinking harlot. Get out of my face. And he fled. Now, he didn't just, listen, let me start right there. He didn't try to reason with her. He didn't say, you know, I can stop this whenever I feel like it. As soon as the temptation came, he got away from it. He was grateful for what God had given him, even though it wasn't everything that he thought maybe it should have been, but he knew that God was with him and God had blessed him. God had given him favor with his master. And listen, he went to jail. He went to jail, Brother Ethan, for honoring God. He went to jail. One of these days, maybe I'll spend more time on Joseph, but God was still with him in jail. If he would have done what Satan wanted him to do, God would have said, okay, no more blessings. God does. Hey, stop, listen, church. God doesn't bless sin. God cannot bless sin. And that's why Satan tries to tempt us to sin so that God's hand is taken off of our lives so that we're just on our own. Because he knows we will drift and we will go away because we need God's presence, God's power, or we're worthless.
That's right.
God doesn't bless your sin, folks. He doesn't bless your lying. You're cheating, you're stealing, you're drinking, you're smoking, the wickedness you put in your eyes and your mind on that television. He doesn't bless the filthiness that's coming through your minds daily. We're all sinful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but listen, there are things that we can do to avoid the temptation because God doesn't bless sin.
Right.
You're fooling yourself. God doesn't bless sin.
Amen. Right.
Oh, but I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved. But you need more than that to make it. Joseph was grateful. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Verse 9. I want to get to my second point here tonight. Number one thing that we need to remember to in order to avoid temptation is gratitude. We must be grateful. But let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. These are interesting verses. Just two verses in the Bible that talk about this man named Jabez. Some of you may have read books about this man. Much has been written in past years about this man and these verses. But I want to look at something here tonight that's going to help us understand another way to avoid temptation, or another reason we should avoid temptation. This here is a prayer. Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel. He prayed. And he said, God, I want you to bless me. Now, Jabez knew that God doesn't bless sin. Like I told you. Jabez prayed to God for blessings, notice, and for strength. And he said, bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. In other words, give me more opportunity. Give me more of a future, of a purpose. Let me be used by you. Let me be, Lord God, help me enlarge my coast. Let me see you more, do more for you. And he said, and that thine hand might be with me. Strength, power, blessings. I mean, listen, there's not a soul in this room that would say, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. I don't want God's blessings. I don't need His strength. I don't want more, be more used of God. I don't want to leave a more of a legacy. And you're crazy. I don't believe you if you'd say, I don't care about any of that. Everybody says, oh, I want blessings. I want, everybody talks about blessed day, blessed day, blessed day. And I understand that. But God, listen, God only blesses those that He can bless.
Right.
And Jabez realized that, and he said, I'm praying, God. Listen, please, God, bless me. Give me your hand with me. Keep me from evil. There it is. That it may not grieve me.
Right.
We should learn to pray this way. Let me say this first of all. We don't have any problem praying to God to bless us. And he was praying, God, bless me. I need you to bless me. I want you to bless me. And you pray that all the time. I know you do. Don't try to kid me. I know you do.
That's right.
Amen.
You pray that all the time. God bless me. God help me. God bless me. God strengthen me. God. But we should pray just as fervently as we pray, God bless me, God bless me. We should pray just as fervently that God, would you keep me from evil? Keep me from temptation. See, we pray, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. And then in the next breath, we're over here in sin.
That's right. Yeah.
And say, God bless me, help me, bless me, strengthen me. And then we go about our day in sin.
Right.
Jabez said, God bless me and also keep me from evil. Because God doesn't bless sin. You can learn it now and have a much happier life, or you can go on in your foolishness and tempt God and think that you're stronger than God, but God does not bless sin.
Right.
That's why he said, God bless me and keep me from evil, because I know that you don't bless evil. What made Jabez pray like this? I want you to notice what it says, verse 10, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The second thing that I want you to see with me tonight, avoiding temptation, the second thing that we need to keep in mind is grief. Grief. Notice it says, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Notice that next punctuation, exclamation point. His prayer was not just a murmured prayer, just a beneath his breath, somewhat secondary. His prayer was with all of his heart. His prayer was fervent. His prayer was heartfelt. And he said, oh God, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Grief. I began to study this word grief here in this verse. And it's an interesting word. It literally means to carve. C-A-R-V-E. It literally means to carve. You can take a pocket knife and you can go to a tree, strip the bark off of it, and you can carve your initials.
Right.
Dalen was here. You can carve your name. You can carve what you desire to carve in that tree. And it scars up that tree, but it stays there.
Right.
Years go by, and it's still there. Dalen was here. 3/20/16. And then in the year, 2056. 40 years later, go back to that same tree, and there's Dalen, married with children. Look, I carved my name in that tree. But this word means carve yourself.
Right.
Who's first? Who's first? You're crazy, preacher. Only an idiot would do that. You know, kids are doing that all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Hello. Mm-hmm.
They're piercing themselves all over their body.
Right.
They're tatting themselves head to toe.
Mom.
But they're also literally cutting themselves. They're just literally cutting themselves. Some of them are trying to kill themselves. Others are just maiming themselves. Jabez said, "Oh God." Anybody want to try? Say, "Oh God, keep me from evil so that it doesn't carve me up." "40 years from now, we go back to Dalen's tree." Dalen was here. 40 years from now, you go back to the site where you did not avoid temptation. You're going to have scars. "Oh, God forgives, and God cleanses and makes whole." Yeah, but the scars don't go away.
That's right.
Emotional scars are much more painful than physical scars.
Yeah.
And grief carves on you. Your emotions, your mind, your heart, grief. Intense sorrow. Now, Jabez said, "Oh God, keep me from evil because I don't want it to carve me up." I believe Jabez knew something about this grief. Listen, from a child. Look in verse 9 again. "Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez." Look now. "Because I bear him with sorrow." His name meant born or birthed with sorrow. That's what his name meant. Now, I don't know. We don't know. God doesn't reveal unto us everything about this. But listen to me. But we know that there was some type of grief in his home as a child.
Right.
It's not a pleasant topic. I know that. But I'm trying to get you to use this as a tool in your toolbox the next time Satan comes knocking.
Right.
And he tempts you with evil. He tempts you to speak evil.
Right.
He tempts you to even think evil. You know, even the thought of foolishness is sin, the Bible says. He fills your mind with hatred towards someone. He says you better get even with that person. They deserve it. I mean, I could go, there's many ways Satan tempts us to evil. He says, "You know, that husband of yours not treating you right, you ought to just leave him." Don't laugh. "That wife of yours, she ain't worth it. Just leave her." I mean, after all, she's not everything she used to be. The list goes on and on. This young man somehow was acquainted with grief. I don't know how. Bible doesn't tell us how, but I know he was from the Scripture.
Well, right.
Listen to it. He knew what it meant to cry himself to sleep. I believe that.
Amen.
He knew what it meant to have his mother weeping. She said, "I bear him with sorrow." This sounds like 2016, doesn't it?
Right.
This book is very relevant. Don't ever let anybody tell you, "Well, that's old, that's old, that's old, that's old-timey, that's old, antiquated, that's outdated." No, this book is very relevant today.
Right.
The Spirit of God is very relevant today.
Amen.
Right.
And Jabez understood sorrow and grief, and he said, "Oh God, please, help me, bless me, and don't let me get in evil. Keep me from evil. That means, I believe he was praying, keep me from the temptation. Keep me away from it. He said, he didn't say keep me from sinning. He said, keep me away from evil. Keep me away from the temptation. Because it brings grief, sorrow, tears, agony, scars that don't go away. I've got some of those scars. Many of you do. I've got scars from sin.
Right.
I do. But those of you who don't, get the picture. Yeah. You don't have to have any.
Amen.
You don't have to have any.
Well,
but you will if you don't avoid temptation.
Yeah. Right.
I said you will if you don't avoid temptation. This is not an easy topic. But listen to me. It's reality. And if we're going to avoid Satan's temptations, we're going to have to get real. It's not a game. Go ahead, start carving yourself. We could all call you crazy. Well, that's what I call you when you just keep on playing with sin. You're crazy. It's going to carve you up. It's going to leave scars for the rest of your life. Keep being rebellious. Keep ignoring God's warnings. Keep ignoring your preacher. Keep making excuses. Go ahead. Keep making excuses. Keep thinking that you're stronger. Keep thinking that you're better. Keep thinking that you're an exception. Go ahead. I'll give you the knife. You're first. Satan's laughing at you. You're no exception. You don't have to be born with sorrow.
That's right.
You don't have to have children born in sorrow. If you'll say no to temptation today, that means that when your children come and your family comes, it won't be a household full of grief. But you got to say no today.
Amen.
Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Grief. Not a fun topic, but I hope it'll sober you up. Verse 1, chapter 11, 2 Samuel. It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. Listen, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived. She got pregnant. And sent and told David and said, "I'm with child." Let me tell you a little bit what was going on here. David was supposed to be in the battle. The time that kings go to battle, David tarried in Jerusalem. David saw a great temptation, a beautiful woman. Again, a different person, but same temptation. Satan knows where to get you. But here's the point. He asked about her, and they told her, this woman's married. She's married. You can't have her, David. She's married. He said, oh, yes, I will. He not only took her and laid with her, she got pregnant. Jump down to verse 14, same chapter. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, sent it to the hand of Uriah, her husband. Sent it by the hand of Uriah, her own husband. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. It came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people, the servants of David. Listen, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Now listen, so not only did David commit adultery with Bathsheba, another man's wife, then he sent word to his general of his army, hey listen, Uriah, her husband, was in David's army. One of David's mighty men, a great warrior, a brave, valiant, all the while his own king is sleeping with his wife while he's on the battlefield. And then he sends word to Joab, his general. He says, Joab, I want you to put Uriah on the front line of the hottest battle. And Uriah was killed. David murdered her husband.
Yeah. Right.
So now, he's committing adultery with someone else's wife. He's murdering her husband. Look in verse 27. And when the morning was past, the morning about what? Well, her husband had died. David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife, bare him a son. But the thing that David had done, notice that this pleased the Lord. Yeah, I'd say so. Look in chapter 12, verse 9. I'm just going through this briefly. Chapter 12, verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, to do evil. What was Jabez's prayer? Deliver me from evil. David now did evil in whose sight? The Lord's sight. Listen, it doesn't matter what mom and dad say, what your friends think about it, what you think about it. If the Bible says it's evil, it's evil.
Right.
It's sin.
Right.
He said, you've done evil in the sight of God. In verse 9, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, look at verse 10. Look now. The sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Look in verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that's born unto thee shall surely die. Right off the bat, David's baby died. God says, the sword's never going to leave your house. The sword that carves.
Right.
The sword that carves is never leaving your house. But wait a minute, I thought God forgives. Scars don't go away.
That's right.
Sin will affect everyone around you. His whole family now had a big, ugly curse on it. Not because he fell into sin. That's the most ungodly, wicked phrase. You don't fall into sin.
That's right.
He saw a temptation, and instead of avoiding it and going back in the house, getting away from it, he said, go get me that woman. And they said, king, she's somebody else's wife. He said, I don't care. I'm the king. I don't care. That's what I want. That's what pleases me. That's what feels good. I don't care. That's what looks good to me. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what God himself says. Go, I'm going to go do what I want to do. And go ahead. Go ahead. I'll give you the knife. You start. You carve yourself up. Well, the sword did not leave his house. I don't have time to tell the whole story because the Bible tells us that David's son Amnon raped his own sister Tamar. Yes, that's what I said. Why? Because of David's sin. Absalom, another son of David, remember the sword did not leave his house. Another son of David had his brother Amnon killed for raping his sister. So you got one son killing another who had raped a sister. Then Absalom himself took over David's kingdom, stole the hearts of the people from David. And then Absalom later was killed by Joab, the same man who killed Uriah after he was hanging in a tree by his hair. Joab went and killed that young man, and that was David's son. Stabbed him, by the way. Carved him up.
Try.
Why? Because he didn't avoid evil. He didn't avoid temptation. Now, most of you in here, are I believe far from doing what David did. I believe that, but listen to me. You can't keep looking at it without it affecting you. What did David do? He kept looking at it. You can't keep looking at the temptation, sister, brother. You can't just keep looking at it. 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 You have to avoid the temptation.
Right.
Grief. Grief. The sword never left his house.
Right.
I mean, he had brothers. I mean, he had sons raping sisters and other sons killing that son. And then his own army killing his son. And I want to show you a verse. I want to show you another verse. Look at chapter 18 of this same book, verse 33. 18, verse 33. After Absalom was killed by his own general Joab of his army, verse 33, chapter 18, the king, David, was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." No. You want to talk about grief?
Yeah, that's right.
He said, "Oh, why didn't I die? Why couldn't I die? Oh, Absalom, my son." It all started when David did not avoid temptation. Now, let me tell you something. David was no sissy. David was no weak man. David was no stranger to battles and wars and sword fights and bows and arrows and chariots and many men that he had literally murdered, not wrongfully, but on the battlefield. He had slain them. He was a king. He was a man's man. He was God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. But he did not avoid temptation.
Right.
And it brought him great grief. You think he's ever going to forget that day?
No.
Oh, Absalom, my son, why didn't I die? his heart was carved up forever, right there. Right there. It's carved up. Grief. Grief ought to make us avoid temptation.
Right.
I don't want to be crying over my children like that. I don't want you young people growing up and having a family and then you be crying over your children like that. I don't want Jose and Chelsea to be crying over their Lucas like that. I don't want Brother Benny to be crying over his kids. I don't want these kids to grow up. Listen, grief is real. But God says avoid evil so you don't have that grief. So you don't carve yourself up. What is there in your life that you just keep looking at? You just keep looking at it. You just keep on playing with it. You just keep on looking at it. They have a thing called Facebook.
Mom.
And you just keep on looking at it.
Right.
You just keep on looking at it. You just keep on looking at it. Gossip, slander, evil speaking, it's sin.
Right.
You say, well, I'm not gonna murder anybody. You think David woke up that day and went out on his porch to stretch and saw that woman and said, I think I'm gonna murder her husband. No. But he just kept looking, kept watching. And he wanted what he saw, because that's what happens. You keep looking at it, you're going to want it. And then you're just going to do what, you don't care what anybody says, you're going to get it somehow. And you're going to carve yourself up with grief.
Come on.
I don't know what happened to Jabez. I don't know why his life was so full of grief. But he said, oh God, bless me, but please, whatever you do, please keep me from evil.
Right.
So that it will not grieve me. I know this has been a hard message. I didn't want to preach this. But dear God, if this doesn't get your attention, you've got more problems than I can do, than I can help you with. But listen, you're not stronger than King David. You're not stronger than the King of all of Jerusalem. You're not stronger. You need to listen to the Word of God tonight and avoid temptation. Go to the altar here in a few minutes and get on your face and say, God, where is the temptation in my life? And get rid of it. Or the grief is next. Carving up is next. It's next. Get rid of it. I mean, kick it out. Burn it. Throw it away. Get rid of it.
Right.
Get away from it. Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son. Whew, that verse is just... Father, that's our message tonight. Lord, I know it was sobering, not easy to preach, but God, please, it's reality. Help my children, God, to listen. God, burn it in our hearts tonight. The grief that sin brings, that evil brings. God, may our prayer be tonight, just like Jabez. Oh God, deliver me from evil. Get me away from it. With an exclamation point. Please bless, Lord God. I know there's hurting people in here that have scars, what I have of myself. But God, we don't have to have any more. We don't have to have any deeper ones. We don't have to pass them down to our children. God, help us tonight to listen to your voice. while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm asking you tonight, do business with God. David lost two sons and a daughter. His heart was carved up for life. Because he did not avoid temptation. Let's stand together. There's no music tonight. People need to pray.